This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
If it's Oud, you just have to put a drop. By the way, that's true. Oud is Oud because you put a drop. Some people, subhanAllah, you offer them your Oud, 1500 riyals for a small bottle, and mashaAllah, they take the thing and they're putting it on them, mashaAllah, like the cheap one. Finishing the bottle is painful to the heart, sarahatan. And once I did this, offered the person on Eid the Oud Kambudi. And he put it, mashaAllah, lovely long line. Dip, dip, mashaAllah. Paint job. Then he smelled it. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then he was washing his hand. I don't know if his la hawla was stronger than mine. After Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the legacy of Nubuwa will be carried collectively by an ummah. And as such, the prophets were the best of all individuals, but now we will have the best of all nations. We are custodians of the legacy. All this discourse that we learnt of in Surah Fatir about the Quraysh's attitude with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is irregular and it doesn't even matter. Why? إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. God Almighty, the creator of everything in existence, He testifies that you are God sent, it's enough. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To my brothers and sisters in Islam, salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace, may His blessings, may His safety be upon you all. Ameen ya Rabb. Subhanallah, wal-qamar qaddarna manazil hatta aada kal-urujun al-qadim. We heard this very early on in the recitation today. And people are asking, when do you think Eid will be? Will it be on Tuesday or will it be on Wednesday? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yasin is highlighting to us His system. Remember yesterday when we introduced Surah Yasin, we said it's from the surahs in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He establishes Tawheed, His oneness, His rububiyyah, all these matters that the Quraysh denied. It's from those Meccan surahs. And in the surah, there is a capture of the Meccan genre of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to establish early on before legislation was set. And regarding His rububiyyah, His lordship, Allah mentions how He has set the day and He has set the night, and the day cannot overcome the night before its time, nor can the night overcome the day before its time. And this is something that has been set since ever, since Allah created the day and the night. And this is how it will be until Allah decrees. And all of us are witnesses to this. And from the verses establishing His rububiyyah is this idea of the moon and the phases of the moon. And in this verse that I just mentioned to you, that was a standout from Imam Sahib's recitation this evening, is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likens the waning moon, the moon that we're seeing right now in our skies, the moon of the last week of the month, to this al-urujun al-qadim. Subhanallah. And this shows how the Quran is phenomenally eloquent, because the initial recipients of it are the Arabs. And they knew what al-urujun al-qadim was, referring to this date palm stalk. When it ages, it gets really old. The shape that it takes, it has a curvature, and it's waning, it's weak, it's brittle. And this is exactly what you would see in the sky towards the latter part of the month, when the moon enters its waning phase. Its light becomes weaker and its shape becomes more of a curvature. Subhanallah. So this is what we took today. And regarding Eid, I thought I'd just mention it to capture your attention, because this is a question that is being asked. Is it Tuesday? Is it Wednesday? Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon all able, but using this verse, that how Allah has set things in motion, then Eid, inshallah, will be Wednesday. Because on Monday night, sighting the moon won't be possible, because its quote-unquote birth time is after sunset. around 9 p.m. or after 9 p.m. in Mecca. So the act of going out to sight will happen. You will see them going out to sight because this is the sunnah. Alhamdulillah. And this shows how able and capable our sharia is. And that's why we still say inshallah, out of having adab and manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he did reveal that on the 29th, go and look for the moon. But in terms of our knowledge of the rising and setting points of the moon and the birth timelines of the moon, then Eid inshallah will be Wednesday. Wallahu a'lam. When we introduce Surah Yasin, we were comparing it to Surah Fatir, or as we try and do always, we try and compare a surah to a surah. And yesterday time was up, and we said, alhamdulillah, we'll hear about Surah Yasin today, so we'll try and touch on some of these points. If I can take you back in Surah Fatir, the attitude of the Quraysh in the denial of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a warner was mentioned. Allah mentioned this in Surah Fatir. And we said at the opening of Surah Yasin, I mentioned this to you yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dispelled this with testimony from the heavens. At the opening of Surah Yasin, after Allah establishes the Quran as the word of Allah, wal Quran al Hakim, Allah says, Innaka lamina al mursaleen. That Allah testifies that you are indeed God sent. That all this discourse that we learnt of in Surah Fatir about the Quraysh's attitude with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is irregular and it doesn't even matter. Why? Innaka lamina al mursaleen. God Almighty, the creator of everything in existence, he testifies that you are God sent, it's enough. And this was the way of the messengers. And we see this in Surah Yasin as well. Inshallah, we'll come across Wadrib Lahum, one of the stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares in Surah Yasin, and we'll build on this idea, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fatir, يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرِ كُلُّ يَجْرِي لِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَهُ الْمُلْكِ. So all this rububiyyah we see in Surah Fatir. Allah says he causes the night to enter the day, and he causes the day to enter the night, and he subjected the sun and the moon, each running its course for a specified term. That is Allah, your Lord, to him belong sovereignty. So this idea of tafakkur, pondering over the creation of Allah, so that you can understand that indeed there is Allah, there is a supreme being, a divine Lord, through rational evidence. This is brought to us in Surah Fatir. That even if you don't want to believe in the Quran, use the brain that Allah gave you and ponder over the creation that Allah has placed you within. And the creation will teach you that there's a supreme being and deity that is above his creation. And all-powerful, something that is from ever and forever, something that creates and wasn't created. Your own rationale will lead you to this conclusion. In Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues with this, وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. And the verse that I shared with you earlier, وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلَ حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْعُرُجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. Allah says, and the sun runs on a course towards its stopping point. That is the determination of the exalted in might, the all-knowing, meaning Allah. And the moon, we have determined for it its phases until it returns appearing like the old date stalk. In Surah Fatir, further tafakkur or opportunities for tafakkur, Allah says, وَتَرَى الْفُلْكَ فِيهِ مَوَاخِرَ لِتَبْتَهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And you see the ships plowing through them that you might seek of his bounty. The ships floating on the seas, and perhaps you will be grateful for them. In Surah Yasin, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. Allah says, and a sign for them is that we carried their forefathers in laden ships. So we see the relationship between the two surahs. This is the comparing and contrasting session of our time together. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us to the next phase of our discussion, and that is Surah Saffat. And inshallah, Surah Yasin has more, but we are summarizing. We are just trying to have a synopsis of what we're reciting. Today we covered the end of Surah Yasin, and then Surah Saffat, which seems to have a sting as well, huh? It's the sting. Like Surah An-Nahl, they say. The Huffaz, when Surah An-Nahl comes, they strategize.
The Surah An-Nahl is the Surah of the Bee. I mentioned this to you yesterday. There's a lot of mutashabihat, similar verses in it. So sometimes I joke with the Huffaz. I say Surah An-Nahl stings. Surah Safat maybe as well, especially if when next to Surah Sad. We had Surah Safat and then Surah Sad. That was in Hafidh Hanbal's recitation. And then Hafidh Dhakir completed Surah Sad and he introduced to us Surah Zumar. In terms of Surah Safat, or before that, I promised you I'll talk to you about one of the stories in Surah Yasin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Ashab al-Qariyah. And this is going to build on the discussion that I said mentioned to you earlier about إِنَّكَ لَمِّنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Allah saying, you are indeed the messenger. And Surah Yasin builds on this, subhanallah. That in Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us using the narrative modus of his rububiyyah, of the messengers being God sent, of the Quran being the word of Allah. And then he reels it back and tells us again, or teaches us these lessons, but now in the forms of stories, subhanallah. This is from the eloquence of the Quran. That there's the lesson and the consolidation of the lesson without the reader getting bored in terms of what they've learned. That the consolidation is happening, but it's not something like, you know, you feel, subhanallah, I already know this, tell me something else. No, it's something that, subhanallah, you want to carry on reading. You don't get bored about it. So you have the idea of the narrative. Here's the microphone, Habibi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers, there is a car, AX07AHD, Ford Fiesta, blocking another car. If you kindly move, because family is waiting to move on, please.
JazakAllah, Dr. Saeed. We needed the other doctor to say this because Quran, car park, and no one's getting up. That's even more serious. Don't worry. Allah is Rahman, and these are the nights of forgiveness. We are all merciful here as well. Get up and move the car, inshallah. Nobody's going to look at you, bi-ithnillah. Okay, Ashab al-Qariyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Ashab al-Qariyah. And as we said, now in the storytelling format, he's going to affirm what he told us in the narrative format. Ashab al-Qariyah, this Qariyah refers to a village. And if we look at the modern map, it refers to the southern part of Turkey. And the scholars of Tafsir, Imam al-Nawawi as well and others, they highlight that Ashab al-Qariyah refers to the Syrian Antioch. The Syrian Antioch village, which, as I said, in today's modern mapping, you would place at the part of southern Turkey. Allah tells us that he sent to them two messengers. And then the two messengers needed further help. So Allah sent a third. And then there were three messengers, and the message needed further help. So Allah sent Waja'a. Allah says, Allah sent a person from the furthest part of the city to tell the people, follow the messengers. Subhanallah. What an able story being revealed in the Quran to a people who are denying their messenger. That Allah has sent to them someone from them, they are denying him. Allah is revealing the story of another people, Ashab al-Qariyah, who Allah didn't send one prophet to, but two. And then to establish the two, he sent a third. And even after three arrived, they were denied. Someone from them, from the other part of the city, had to come and tell them, follow the messengers. Subhanallah. Now, this is mankind sometimes. Now, in terms of these messengers, the scholars of Tafsir, they have two views regarding them. Some say they were messengers sent by Isa. They were messengers sent by Isa. So they were not God sent. They were disciples sent by a messenger. And other scholars have opined that these were messengers sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's two views about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of the Antioch denied them and used as evidence the same narrative of the Quraysh towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, you are just humans like us. Bashar mithluna, you're just humans like us. Bring to us something more. If you are truly God sent, if you are messengers with a divine message, then why are you people from us, like us? You are human beings. You look like us. You eat, you sleep, you tire, you fatigue, and so on and so forth. So what does Allah say?
Of course, there's more to the story, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing what is important to the narrative of Surah Yasin and its connection to Surah Fatir. We spoke about them denying the messenger, and Allah is saying, indeed you are the messenger. Allah tells us what these messengers said in response to these people who denied them, using evidence that you are humans like us. They said, okay, we do not have proof for you, but it is enough for us that Allah knows that we are God sent. Khalas. This is enough. It's enough for us to know that we are preaching to you the truth. It's enough for us to know that we were sent by God. It's not a condition for us to prove to you that we have been sent by God for our message to be the truth. Look at this izzah and honor. And time again I've said to you, the haqq stands by itself. The haqq stands by itself. The truth stands by itself. It doesn't need no trend. It doesn't need no group. It doesn't need no celebrity. It doesn't need anyone to prop it up. The haqq stands by itself, subhanAllah. And it's as if these surahs are preparing us for Surah Zumar. Allahu Akbar. Because remember, we said there's three surahs of Tawheed. I mentioned this to you during Surah Al-An'am in the Quran. Or they are known as the surahs of Tawheed. Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-An'am, and Surah Zumar. These are the surahs that establish Tawheed, Uluhiyya. The longest, Surah Al-An'am. The shortest, Al-Ikhlas. The middle surah, Az-Zumar. That Zumar is coming, it's enough that it's come and it's told you, that's it, the truth stands by itself. It's enough that it is revealed to you as the truth. So this is what the messenger said, fine, no problem. We humans like you, but that doesn't put us in an inferiority complex. It is enough for us that Allah knows we are God sent. And we are not asked except to convey, subhanAllah. And this is another important lesson here. And Allah is teaching the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam through these stories as well. It's not only the Quraysh receiving. Remember, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is receiving and he's teaching. Because he's a human being too. Being battled by his own people. Who testified that he was the most trustworthy and honest one amidst them. They would not doubt any word that came out from his mouth. But regarding this message, everything has turned on him. They've called him names. They've launched a propaganda campaign. A character assassination program. Strategic program, subhanAllah, whereby even when the Muslims went to Habasha, they sent a protocol to Habasha to make sure that the propaganda reached Al-Najashi. This was what was laid upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So you have to imagine, the Quran is coming to him, that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam first and foremost is taking inspiration from this. That subhanAllah, there were three messengers who went and the people still denied them. So it's not personal that I'm going through this journey and being tested as well. This is life. This is how human beings are. And in Surah As-Safat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Muhsinun wa zalimun li nafsihi mubin." Subhanallah, as we heard in the Taraweeh today. That from the progeny of these prophets were those who are muhsin, who are excellent. And there were those who oppressed themselves. But subhanallah, there are times when the majority oppress themselves. When Allah tells us in Surah Safat about the people of Yunus alayhi salam, مِئَةَ أَلْفْ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ Yunus was sent to more than 100,000 and they denied him, but he became angry and left them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them the signs, the heavy clouds, and they remembered what Yunus told them about Nuh. And they said, this is probably the adab, the punishment that he's been talking about, so they all accepted. فَآمَنُوا فَمَتَّعَنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ حِينَ They believed, so we preserved them for a period of time. So sometimes a majority can deny and sometimes a majority can become guided. And a lot of the times the majority deny and it's the minority that believe. And the Quran says as well about this. And we mentioned these verses previously, if I recall, about the majority. وَإِنْ تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ That if you to follow the majority of people on earth, they'll take you away from the path of Allah. They'll take you to the wrong path. And as for the haqq, وَلَوِ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ Subhanallah. That if the truth had to follow the desires of people, the corruption would cover the heavens and the earth and everything in between. If the haqq had to follow the desires of people, the whims and fancies of people, corruption would ensue. So the haqq stands by itself. And the messenger that preaches the haqq, his job is just to convey. It's as if Allah is teaching, and Allah is teaching the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam here, that do not be saddened, do not be broken by the attitude towards you. We didn't send you to convert, we sent you to convey. So the Allah is saying, these messengers said to Ashab al-Qariya, Allah has not asked except for us to convey, not to convert. That the reward is in conveyance, not conversion. That we are already rewarded, we're not at a loss here. Our salvation with our Lord is not in you accepting our message. Our salvation with our Lord is in us conveying the message. In terms of your attitude with the message, that is between you and your Lord. Subhanallah. And yesterday we were building on the discussion about how Allah revealed At-Tashri' al-Islami li tanzeem al-Bayt al-Nabawi. We spoke about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, He revealed the verses pertaining to the laws of the prophetic household and the mothers of the believers and the women to come thereafter. That at the end of the day, it's a matter of conveyance. Once the truth is established, may Allah save us. Because the matter then is between the people who received the truth and their Lord. Allah will judge them based on their actions. But is conveyance enough? No. They said, Balagh al-Mubin. Subhanallah. The messenger is being taught here as well. That not only are you supposed to convey, but your conveyance has to be clear. Mubin. It has to be clear. Meaning, Balagh refers to something reaching in the Arabic language. So the truth that you project has to reach the people. Mubin means what you preach that reaches the people has to be understood by them. The message has to be clear. So the challenge on the da'i is to figure out the vernacular of the people, the attitudes of the people, the conversational tones of the people, and then strategize how to present this truth in a manner that's palatable to them. Once the da'i has done this, their reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their process and job is complete. So these messengers, Allah is telling us what they said to the people. That our job is to convey a clear conveyance. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is receiving this inspiration. That he not focus on the people's attitude towards him, but rather he focus on the clarity of his conveyance of the message to the people. So this is the story of the Antioch, the people of the Antioch. Anyway, Allah tells us that they arrogantly responded and they said, not only are you people like us. And scholars of Tafsir say, when these messengers came for 3 days, rain didn't fall. So they said, we want to add to why we disbelieve in you. Not only are you human beings, but we think you are sorcerers and magicians. You've come with bad omens. طَيَّرْنَا You've come with bad omens. That this rain has stopped because of you. You are bad people. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. They said, if you do not lift this omen, if the rain doesn't return, we will stone you and we will persecute you. This is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going through. Imagine he's going through this and Allah is revealing to him. He's going through this and Allah is revealing to him. And that is why my brother and sister in Islam, yesterday we spoke about this, right? We said that when people struggle to follow the laws of Allah, it's connected to weakness in iman. It is. And when iman is high, people adopt the laws of Allah easily. To build your iman, you have to be close to the Quran. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going through this difficult mission. And Allah is revealing to him the Quran. And think about this. Surah Al-Muzzammil, one of the earliest surahs revealed. In it, Allah is commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا Stand the night except for a little. نِصْفَهُ half of it. أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا or a little bit less than half. أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ or a little bit more than half. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا and recite the Quran, a clear recitation. Think about this. How many verses did he have with him sallallahu alayhi wasallam? If you're going to stand half the night, how many ayat do you need? In 1.5 hours, we stand in the Taraweeh. How many verses do we recite? How many verses did he have, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? A handful of verses. And he's standing half the night, a little bit more than the night, which means what? He's repeating these verses. This is tadabbur. Tadabbur. He's repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. As you repeat these verses, they become intrinsic in you. They become a part of your heart, a part of your soul, a part of your body, a part of your mind. Subhanallah. It becomes a part of you. Today they talk about NLP training, neuro-linguistic programming through language and repetition. Paradigms are shifted and stationed. I'm not going to connect this to that. But the idea is there. That subhanallah. that as you repeat, as you read, and Allah is revealing to you surah after surah, sometimes using the narrative approach, sometimes using stories from the people of the past to consolidate the narrative, this establishes you as a da'i. And it establishes you on the truth. And it removes from you the inferiority complex. So I know we say that this is a Meccan surah, this is a Meccan surah, this is a Meccan surah, and the genre of knowledge of the Meccan surahs apply to these surahs. The genre of knowledge from the Meccan surahs apply to these surahs, establishing Allah as Allah, oneness in His worship, oneness in His lordship, the messenger as God sent, the Quran as a book from Him, that there's life after death, life that there's a day of Qiyamah. Yes, this is repeated throughout, but subhanAllah, not in a way that tires you, in a way that only empowers you and constantly empowers you, because the journey is long and the mission is hard and the people are many and there's no prophet to come after the messenger. The hope of the ummah is upon the ummah of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of people. Why? Because you collectively carry the greatest legacy the world ever experienced, the legacy of nubuwwah that was revealed upon Nuh. Inna awhayna ilayka kama awhayna ila Nuh. The first quarter of the sixth juz. Wa nabiyyina min ba'di. That indeed we have revealed to you, O Muhammad, this legacy as we revealed it upon Nuh first and the prophets between you two. But with no prophet to come after Muhammad, the only ambassadors of this legacy will be the Ummah of Muhammad. That no one man will carry this legacy from now on. After Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the legacy of Nubuwwah will be carried collectively by an Ummah. And as such, the prophets were the best of all individuals, but now we will have the best of all nations. We are custodians of the legacy. And that's why the Meccan surahs are important to us. Very important, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. طيب, Surah Safat, another Meccan surah, 182 verses. In Surah Yasin, and we'll connect the two, Allah says, أَلَمْ يَرَوْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Generally, Allah says, have they not considered how many generations we destroyed before them? Okay. Who are these generations? The details come in Surah Safat. Yasin is just a general idea. If you have the question, the answer is in Surah Safat. Allah mentions nation after nation after nation after nation. And wallahi, Surah Safat is like Surah Al-Qamar. Or those surahs, subhanAllah, that when you read it, you thank Allah that you're on the right side of the line. Wallahi. When you read it, and you read it as part of the family of La ilaha illallah, you can breathe. Because honestly, if you're not, it's severe. It's severe. We'll come to Surah Al-Qamar on the 27th, inshallah. 26th night, we will cover the 27th juz. Surah Al-Qamar. وَلَيْقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. Allah breaks it up, subhanAllah, eloquently hits us with a people who denied their messenger and what Allah did with them. And then eloquently cuts it with وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. We've made the Quran easy for you to understand. Will you understand it? Surah Safat, similar approach. Allah mentions to us a people, their denial, and what Allah did to them. And then Allah cuts it with إِلَّا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. That when you read the surah, and Allah says the only one saved were the sincere, devoted, righteous worshippers of Allah, you say, Alhamdulillah, I'm reading the surah, and I'm from the family of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Because Allah mentions this, ثُمَّ أَغْرَقْنَا الْآخَرِينَ. And then he mentions how he destroyed a people with regards to other prophets, the people of Nuh. ثُمَّ أَغْرَقْنَا الْآخَرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story of Ibrahim. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells about Musa and Harun. وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّ عَلَى مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُمَا وَقَوْمَهُمَا مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ وَنَصَرْنَاهُمْ فَكَانُهُمُ الْغَالِبِينَ. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells about them. And Allah tells us what he did with those who denied Musa. وَإِنَّ إِلْيَاسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهَا لَا تَتَّقُونَ أَتَدْعُونَ بَعْلًا وَتَذَرُونَ أَحْسَنَ الْخَالِقِينَ اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ وَرَبَّ آبَائِكُمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. The message of the messengers, they were conveying, one after the other, conveying, conveying, conveying. فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَمُحْضَرُونَ إِلَّا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. All those who denied, denied. But Allah, when He punished them, He saved a group. Who? Those who were from the righteous believers in Allah. So Surah Al-Safat is empowering, wallahi, for the believer. Again, we don't need an inferiority complex. Things take time. And everything is in the qadr and plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through this, Allah will raise who He raises. And through this, Allah will debase who He debases. لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Allah will separate the khabith from the tayyib. This is the reality, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, of the life of this world and the guidance of the Quran regarding it. So when it comes to the truth again, I implore you, my dear brother and sister in Islam, do not do gymnastics with it. You know the statement in the English language, less is more, this applies to the haqq. Less is more applies to the haqq. When you take the haqq and you try and do gymnastics with it and stretch it and crunch it and bend it and fold it, you're taking away from it. You're taking away from it. And then what are you doing in terms of your respect to the one who sent it? Subhanallah. So that is Surah Safat. Then we come to Surah Sad. Makkan Surah again. Subhanallah. It's a hit today. Potent hit. Makkan. Then we have Surah Sad. 88 verses. Called Surah Sad because of the opening. Its connection to Surah Safat. Well, towards the end, the disbelievers say, if only we got this message from those before, we would have been righteous worshippers. As Hafiz Hamdallah read. This is what they said. They said this message, يعني ذكرًا من الأولين, if it was something that we got from the people before, we would have believed and followed. In Surah Sad, Allah opens it by confirming that this dhikr has arrived. Well, Quran is the dhikr. And if you read it, you will see the confirmation that it did exist before. Meaning, you not having knowledge of it having existed before does not mean that it didn't exist before. And this is a logical principle as well. يعني عدم العلم بالشيء لا يعني عدم وجود الشيء. Not having knowledge of something existing doesn't mean that it didn't exist. So you saying, if only we had knowledge of it existing before, we would have been followers. That's what they said at the end of Surah Safat. Allah opened Surah Sad. والقرآن ذي الذكر. Here's the ذكر. ذكر من الأولين والقرآن ذي الذكر. The ذكر is, man, here's the ذكر. This is the Quran, read it. And in it you will see that the ذكر you're asking about, which you say, had we only known it to have existed before, this Quran will prove that it existed before. Read it. So this is this connection. Subhanallah. In Surah Sad, the topic related to Meccan surahs, and in particular Tawheed, Nubuwa, life after death, all this is presented to us. And it also shares the reason for denial, why people deny the haqq. And we spoke about this in length when we discussed Surah Al-A'raf. What did we say at the top of it was? Arrogance. And then Allah shares the story of the people of Nuh and Ad and Fir'aun and Thamud and Lut generally. And then he details for us a little bit more. He gives us the stories of Dawood and Sulaiman and Ayyub with a little bit more detail. And Allah tells us in particular, and remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is receiving this because he's being tested. Allah tells us how he tested these three prophets. He tested Dawood in his position. He tested Sulaiman circumstantially. He tested Ayyub alayhi salam with his health and his wealth and his family. La ilaha illallah. Ayyub. They were tested. The Prophet is learning that your brothers from the prophets before, they were also tested and tested heavily. So Allah reveals this also in Surah Sad. Inshallah, when you go home, you can read about this. And in these stories are lessons for those who deny that the end will be doom and gloom, just as you heard in Surah Safat. The end will be doom and gloom for those who deny. Then Surah Zumar came, Sufli. And as we said, it's the Surah of Tawheed. And it is an explanation of the verse in the Quran, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ in Surah Al-Fatiha, if I can collect it to the first night of Ramadan. Why is Surah Zumar called Zumar? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Zumar discusses, especially at the end, the groups. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُ وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْ. Those who disbelieve, إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَارًا. Those who believe, to Jannah, زُمَارًا. Groups. It's a story of groups and different types of groups and how the ending ended up being. This is Surah Az-Zumar. What is it connection? The connection of Surah Zumar to Surah Sad? In Surah Sa'd, right at the end, Allah says, إِنُّ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That this Qur'an is nothing but a reminder to the worlds. And then subhanallah, Surah Zumar begins in a way very unique, different to other surahs that normally would begin in this manner. There's no disjointed letters. Immediately, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم.
So Surah Sa'd ends with this Quran is nothing but a reminder to the worlds. And then you read the next verse, Surah Zumar, the first verse, the revelation of the Quran is from Allah, the Exalted in Might, the Wise. What a connection, subhanAllah. Amazing. 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 It's as if you read, in huwa illa dhikru lil alameen, it is nothing but a reminder to the world. And you say, well, who revealed this reminder? Tanzeelul kitab min Allah al-Aziz al-Hakim. The question you seek, the answer is coming to you in the next verse. The revelation of the Quran from Allah, the Exalted in Might. At the end of Surah Sa'd, Allah mentions the creation of Adam and the story of Adam. And we heard this in the recitation today. In Surah Zumar, and we will see this tomorrow as well, Allah mentions the circumstances surrounding the children of Adam. That we have Adam, in the Surah Zumar, the Surah after, the children of Adam, from beginning till end. Like we said, their groups and where they end up, in Jannah or Jahannam. So look out for this in tomorrow's recitation. Okay, very quickly, some noticeable verses from tonight's recitation. There were many. From them, وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْؤُولُونَ SubhanAllah. وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْؤُولُونَ Such a short ayah. But it's a standout ayah. Allah says, and stop them, indeed they are to be questioned. This is regarding the day of Qiyamah. Ali radiallahu anhu was asked, how will Allah question his slaves? And Ali says, Allah will audit their day in the same way He provided for them in that day. Think about this. A few words from Ali radiallahu anhu, but very telling. In our day, Allah gives us breaths. He gives us heartbeats. He gives us blinks of our eyelid. These are all moments. Allah is al-Khalaq. He's the creator of all these moments. He gives us sustenance. Between our breaths are moments. During our breath, there's a moment. This is all sustenance from Allah. This is all sustenance from Allah. Right now, we are engaged based on the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, this questioning will be easier. Inshallah, our intentions are sincere. I mean, no one's here trying to marry a girl or something. Huh? I know her father attends, so let me just sit in the gathering. Huh? We're sitting here for Allah, inshallah. But you see the point. Imagine you get to the day of Qiyam and Allah shows you this part of the day. Do you sweat about this or you say, alhamdulillah? Alhamdulillah. Na'am. But outside of the masjid, in the marketplace, in the supermarket, at the business, in the gatherings of friends, in the restaurants, when Allah presents you those moments, will you easily create and say, alhamdulillah, or you'll be tripping, as the kids say, the youth say, huh? You're tripping, huh? Trepidation. SubhanAllah, what? I can't remember. Was something said there? Was there a bit of ghibah and I didn't get up and leave? Allah says, فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِي وَاللَّهَ نَجَلَسْتْ اللَّهُ مُسْتَعَدْ. Okay, you sat, but did you correct? I didn't correct them. I mean, you'll be thinking, isn't it? Here you're sitting, you don't have to worry, only I have to worry. You see, if I say something against what Allah has revealed, then my neck's on the line. But you always say, Wallah, we were just sitting and listening. He was there putting the neck on the line, preaching. Signing on your behalf, Ya Allah. And so we were telling the brothers, leave quietly, brothers. So that is not the masjid is not a witness against you on the day of Qiyamah. Umuman, waqifuhum innahum masulun. Think about this, especially in light of yesterday's discussion. Wallah, yesterday, I was really jet-lagged, wallah. You might have seen I was struggling with the session. And there were important things to discuss. I'm not apologizing, because we preach the Quran, we're not apologetic. But if in the conveyance it came across as if I was scolding, that wasn't intended. It's a topic that is an important topic. And Suratul Ahzab is not going to last with us till the end of Ramadan. I only had yesterday, the day of arrival and jet lag, to seek to share it with you. So I had to, as we say, take the bull by the horns. But I only have love for you all and trust that you will receive the message from a heart to a heart. That wallahi, I only intend for you success on the day of Qiyamah in front of Allah. And culture is not going to bring to you that success necessarily. Wallahi, it isn't. So that's the idea. And what is good for the wives of the messenger? Wallahi, it's good for our wives. What is good for the home of the messenger? Billahi, it's good for our homes. What is good for the daughters of the messenger? Tallahi, it's good for our daughters. This is the reality. Jazakumullahu khairan. Next ayah.
قالت الله إن كدت لتردين. Allah says, he will say, by Allah, you almost ruined me. Because Allah in Surah Safat is talking about the companionship. About companions. Companions who come to you and make you doubt the truth. They come to you and bring you alternatives. ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان. That which Allah didn't reveal. And if you listen to them, you go astray. In Surah Safat, Allah tells us of a situation whereby a person ended up in Jannah. And his companion is in the hellfire. And he says, Tallahi, I swear by Allah, you almost ruined me. If I listened to you, I'd be with you where you are. أَإِذَا كُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامَنَا إِنَّا لَمَدِينُونَ. This is shubha, misconception. Someone comes to you and says, guy, what are you talking about life after death? You mean to say when we are bones and turn to dust, we will become civilized again thereafter? This is misconceptions that people feed us with. This person survived because if I listened to you and I became misconceived as you, subhanAllah, I would be where you are. And you can only deduce from this, and we have the youth over here, the importance of a good friend circle. Young boys, young girls. And my parents, wallahi, I have not seen anything that can erode good parenting like bad friend circles. That you raise your child, raise your child, raise your child, raise your child, invest, and then subhanAllah, they get a bad friend outside the home. It literally erodes all the values you taught them, all the principles you taught them. And subhanAllah, it is not strange at all, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite having to bring tawheed to the world, spent time teaching the sahaba about good companions. And even the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Have you ever thought about this? This is a verse about friendship. That all you who believe, gain taqwa. How? By having a righteous friend circle. It's in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الْمَرْءُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ. A person is upon the deen, upon the way of his friend. And what do we say to the youth? When you have a friend who you like, then really what you're telling that friend, you're not really telling that friend, I like you. You are telling that friend, I am like you. Or should I rephrase? When you tell someone, I like you, you are telling them, I am like you. المرء على دين خليله. Spend enough time with them, you will actually be them. إلا من رحم الله. Except those who Allah's mercy descends upon. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and young boys and young girls, listen to this. Imagine you are sitting as young sahaba at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's teaching you about this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells the sahaba that the example of a good friend and the example of a bad friend, the example of a good friend is like having a friend who sells perfume. Misk, perfume. And the example of having a bad friend is like having a friend who works at the blast furnace, smelting iron, nafikh al-qir. The one who smelts iron at the blast furnace. The shurrah, the scholars of hadith, they expand on this. They say, look, if you have a friend who sells perfume, if you go visit that friend, and he's a good friend, huh? Good friend, he'll take out a whole bottle of perfume and give it to you as a hadiyah. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Oud, kambudi, mashaAllah. In Malaysia, they made me smell Thailand oud, ya akhi, mashallah. It was unique, wallah. Wallah, it was unique. Thailand oud. I'm not giving you ideas, Habibi. I'm not asking anyone to give me hadiyah, huh? Oud. He will give you a bottle of itr. How long will that bottle last you? Months? Weeks? Years? If it's oud, you just have to put a drop. By the way, that's true, huh? Oud is oud because you put a drop. Some people, subhanAllah, you offer them your oud. 1500 riyals for a small bottle, and mashaAllah, they take the thing and they're putting it on them, mashaAllah, like the cheap one. Finishing the bottle is painful to the heart, salahatan. And once I did this, offered the person on Eid, the Oud, kambudi. And he put it, mashaAllah, lovely long line. Dip, dip, mashaAllah. Paint job. Then he smelled it. And then he was washing his hand. I don't know if his la hawla was stronger than mine. Okay, so he gives you a bottle of oud, a bottle of perfume. How long is it going to last? A long time, isn't it? So this friend has benefited you for so long. But let's say you visit this friend and he's not that generous. What does he do? He takes out a bottle of perfume and he lets you try some. Alhamdulillah. So the whole day you'll be smelling good. right? The whole day you'll be smelling good. So you've benefited, not for weeks, but for a day. It's still a benefit. And if he doesn't give you anything, then just being in his environment, there's a lot of perfumes around. The shop smells nice. You stay enough, if you spend enough time in that shop, the smells of the shop will settle on your jumper, on your clothes. When you leave that shop, you will smell nice at least for a few hours. You're always in a win-win situation when you have a good companion. But if you have a companion that's bad, doesn't remind you of the akhirah, doesn't speak to you about the grave, doesn't remind you to salah, and so on and so forth. It's all about dunya, 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 all the discussions, latest games, latest records, how long are we going to play? Even if not about we'll miss Fajr, no, we're going to spend the night. And how are we going to deceive our parents? What plan are we going to put into place? And the example of this friend is similar to Nafikh al-Qir, the friend that you have who works at the blast furnace. When you go visit this friend, if you get too close to the blast furnace, a spark will come out and burn all your clothes. It's going to burn your nice clothes. You've lost. But let's say you say, I'm going to be careful. I won't go close to the blast furnace. I'm going to stay a bit back. Then the black smoke in the room where the blast furnace is going to taint your white shirt. You're going to walk out, it's going to smell and it's going to have black marks on it. But let's say you say, I know this is a bad friend, I'm going to be really careful. My parents said, don't play with this friend is bad news. But you know what, you know, he's popular at school. So I'm just going to be with him, but I'm going to be careful. So I'm going to stand at the door of the blast furnace. I'm not going to even go into the room. I'm going to stand at the door. Well, the monoxide's in the air from the blast furnace. Your friend has a gas mask, you don't. You're going to have to breathe the bad air. And the toxins in the air is going to enter your lungs. Which means what? Subhanallah, how eloquent is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Likening a good friend to a friend who sells perfume and a bad friend to a person who smells iron. Look what we can deduce from it. That when you have a bad friend, no matter how much you try, you will be at a loss. قالت الله إن كدت لتردين طيب كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليتدبروا آياتي وليتذكر أولو الألباب سورة صاد تدبر الله سبحانه وتعالى is teaching us here an important lesson pertaining to the Quran that is lost upon most of us. You see, brothers and sisters in Islam, القرآن ما أنزل لكي يقرأ وفقط وَمَا أُنزِلَ لِكَيْ يُحْفَظُ وَفَقَتْ وَمَا أُنزِلَ لِكَيْ يُسْتَمَعُ إِلَيْهِ وَفَقَتْ الحقيقة بخصوص كتاب الله أن القرآن أنزل ليتدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب سبحان الله that this Quran Allah didn't reveal so it could just be recited or so that you could just listen to it or so that you could just memorize it. Rather, Allah revealed it so that you can ponder over these verses. And think about this. Who is receiving this verse when it's being revealed? Who? The Quraysh. The disbelievers. Allah is saying, we revealed it so you can ponder. And those who are objective in their approach with the Quran, they will be guided. If this is a message to the Quraysh, what about the believers? Tadabbur, ponder over the book of Allah. And there's books of tafsir that aid this. The book I shared with you yesterday on Surah Yusuf. The aim, one of the objectives from it is to bring about the idea of tadabbur, and that's why we have these trigger boxes in there to help you ponder and apply the lesson to your daily life. Ponder over the book. This is one of the greatest ibadah you can do, especially in Ramadan with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Ibn al-Qayyim mentions in his tafsir of the verse in Surah Al-Furqan, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will complain to Allah, the prophets complained to Allah, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا that indeed my people have taken this Qur'an as something abandoned. Subhanallah. They've taken the Qur'an as something abandoned. He says, Ibn al-Qayyim, one of the ways that you abandon the Qur'an is by not pondering over the verses of the Qur'an. عَدَمَ التَّدَبُّرْ مِنْ هُجْرَانِ الْقُرْآنِ Allah يحفظنا وإياكم. Allah protect us from this. Now people say, Shaykh, but Arabic, I don't have Arabic, how do I ponder? Brother and sister in Islam, pondering is at levels. Tadabbur is at levels. Tadabbur is not tafsir, firstly. People say, Wallahi, tafsir, we're not allowed to do tafsir, we're not a scholar, we don't know the Quran. Yes, you're not allowed to do tafsir. Correct. Tadabbur isn't tafsir. Tadabbur is a process after tafsir. Tadabbur is a process after tafsir. Tadabbur is for the masses. If it wasn't for the masses, Allah wouldn't reveal it like this. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمَّ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not ponder over the verses of the Qur'an? Or has a lock been set on their hearts? So what can you do to make sure you're not from those who have abandoned the Qur'an with regards to tadabbur? Something that the masses can do. Which is what? You take a verse, you go to a scholar, or you open a book of tafsir. You understand the verse. If still you don't understand the verse, you go to a scholar. Once you understand the verse, tadabbur starts. Tadabbur for a person who doesn't know Arabic and is not from the students of language, meaning tadabbur of the masses, tadabbur al-jumhur, the tadabbur of the masses, is to benchmark yourself against the knowledge of that verse. Every verse in the Quran teaches you knowledge and calls you to an action. Every verse. Bila istithna, there's no exception to this. Every verse in the Quran teaches you knowledge and calls you to an action. I taught you this at the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, it taught you about Allah being the Lord. The action that it calls you to is to love Allah. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, it taught you about Allah being the entirely merciful and the especially merciful. The action that it calls you to is in having hope in Allah. Maliki Yawmiddin, it teaches you that Allah is the master and owner of the day of Qiyamah. The action that it calls you to is to fear the punishment of Allah. There's always knowledge and action in every verse of the Quran. Once you have the knowledge, the action now applies to you. And the scholar will tell you that this is the action that the verse is calling to. And some verses doesn't even, that these verses, some verses don't even need a scholar to tell you this. So for example, the Quran calls you to love Allah. Let's take a simple example. What is tadabbur for you? Tadabbur is for you to ponder. Do I love Allah? How much do I love Allah? What is the ideal level of loving Allah? What is my level? What is the nature of the gap between my level and the level I should be at? Why is there this gap between where I am and where I should be? What solutions can I implement to close the gap between where I am and where I should be? This is tadabbur. Subhanallah. You practice this tadabbur, this is you interacting with the Quran. أقيم الصلاة, establish the salah. Allah didn't say pray, He said establish the prayer. What does establishment of the prayer mean? What is the level of my prayer? What's the gap between my prayer right now and establishment? Why is there this gap? How can I close the gap? In management, we talk about gap analysis, root cause analysis, solutions analysis. Where's the MBA guys here? We have this, right? So simply, tadabbur here is to run your own gap analysis. What's the gap between me and the ideal? Root cause analysis. Why is there this gap between me and this ideal? Solutions analysis. What can I implement? What system can we change to close the gap between me and the ideal? This is tadabbur. I can spend the whole evening here, but we need to get ready for Qiyam as well. Last but not least, patience is a virtue. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. الزُّمَرْ, ayah number 10. When this verse is being read, I'm thinking of the people of Gaza. But like I said, are they being tested more or are you and I being tested more? What does Allah say? Say, O my servants who have believed, fear your Lord. For those who do good in this world will be good. And the earth of Allah is spacious. Indeed, the patient will be given their reward in full without accountability. Sabr, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Sabr. And this verse is connected to a lesson yesterday from Ahzab. That for change to happen, you need to spend some of yourself. If not all of yourself, some of yourself. Being uncomfortable is part and parcel of change being born. Giving up that holiday and using that money, subhanallah, for a more worthier cause that the ummah has. There's a masjid that needs to be established, an institution in your society. I've been on enough holidays. My 5,000 pounds, I'm going to put it here. For the sake of Allah, that sabr, Allah will reward you in full for it. There are people who are in need, who are hungry. The people of Gaza, the levels of hunger and subhanallah, severe acute hunger is very high. Subhanallah. The scholars say it is better for you to give up the money you saved for voluntary Hajj and Umrah to them, it's more rewarding than going for Umrah and Hajj if you've done Hajj and Umrah before. The books of fiqh discuss this. What's better? I go for Umrah when it's not wajib on me? I go for Hajj when it's not wajib on me? Or I save a dying person? I save a people from hunger. No doubt. All the scholars agree. It's better for you to save that person, to feed that person, to establish an institution, to give da'wah to a nation. There's people going out to a village to give da'wah. They need to be funded. Fund them. This is better for you than going for Hajj. The £15,000 you had for Hajj, it can create a huge impact on the globe. But it's about fiqh. Having an understanding. Yes, it's going to be hard for you. It's a battle within the self. But I want to go. Remember we said you got to spend a bit of yourself. You have to be patient. That for the sake of Allah, if this is the right thing to do, I will forego what I want for that which Allah wants. The Eid gathering, they have one to sit together on the same table. It's been a tradition for years. It's going to be odd. My parents are old. You know, shaitan comes to you with everything. As soon as the new moon arrives, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Night of Eid, you start questioning yourself now. Again. But you know, my parents are old. But, and, so, if, what, why? You have to be patient. And you have to follow through, but in a wise way. Not a way that breaks things, but a way that does start calibrating things. Yes, people might not think you popular. But if the angels of Allah think you popular, then who cares? That's the reality, right? But that's the reality. Today, this idea, no, you know, what do we say? How people say? Yesterday I spoke about building the rapport. Never ending building. But this is what people want. You know, we don't want to upset people. You know, times are hard, challenging. Don't upset people. Wallahi, all this rhetoric is at the expense of the haqq and the truth. وَإِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَةِ وَأَخَذْتُمْ بِأَثْنَابِ الْبَقَرِ وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُهُ حَتَّى تَرْجُعُ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. Hadith that is considered authentic by some of the scholars of hadith. That if you deal in interest, it's too hard for you to leave, consumed by the dunya. وَخَدْتُمْ بِأَثْنَابِ الْبَقَرِ. Your business is more important to you than everything else. My business, then deen. Everything else, then deen. وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ. You left striving in the path of Allah. وَجَاهِدُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Jihad is not just jihad that we know of. Remember, this term jihad was present in the Quran before Allah allowed the Muslims to go out and fight. Before Udhina lil-ladhina was revealed, jihad was in the Quran. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا is in a Meccan verse. It was revealed in the Meccan times when Allah revealed to the Sahaba, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ قِيلَ لَهُمْ كُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. Allah says, do you not see the people when we revealed to them, put your arms down and establish the prayer and give the zakah, be patient. Don't fight back. There was no jihad. There was no fighting back. But Allah revealed jihad. Jihad is to fight all forms of misguidance, even starting with yourself. Starting with yourself. Taraktumul jihad. You left it. You didn't want to spend a bit of you. You just wanted to be happy. Allah will reveal upon you a disgrace that will never be lifted until you turn back to your deen. I leave you with the words of Umar when he was going to Bayt al-Maqdis to receive the keys. And Abu Ubaidah, the Amin of this Ummah, sees the leader of the Muslims walking barefoot with his shoes underneath his armpits, pulling the animal. On top of the animal is the slave boy of Umar. Abu Ubaidah runs to him and says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, the bishops of Palestine, they want to give you the keys. They are waiting for the leader of the believers. Put your shoes on and get onto your animal. Subhanallah. It's not bad advice. You could say it's being wise. What does Umar say to Abu Ubaidah? Abu Ya Aba Ubaidah. If only someone other than you said this to me. If someone other than you said this to me, they would have felt the pain of Umar. It's lucky it's you, not somebody else. And then he mentioned the important words. Kunna adhillah. We were wretched people. Nobody wanted to know us. We're not worth being mentioned. نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a people that have been given honor by Allah through Islam. فَمَهْمَا إِبْتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّةَ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. أذله الله. That whoever seeks honor and izzah in any system, in any way, in any culture, in any ism, other than the system through which Allah gave us honor, which is Islam, then not only will they be disgraced, but Allah will disgrace them himself. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. May Allah save us from being disgraced. ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. The dua of Ibrahim, he made dua to Allah that, Ya Allah, don't disgrace me on the day of Qiyamah. The day in which no amount of wealth or children will benefit a person brought to you. The only benefit will be the benefit of a person who meets Allah with a pure heart. May Allah grant us pure hearts, humble hearts. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. This is a synopsis of tonight's reading. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. May Allah write our sitting as part of the worship of Laylatul Qadr. Ameen Ya Rabbi.